This is Doug Miller. Are you looking for some kind of fortune teller? Someone who can read the future for you? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time with the Word of God in hand. I think you will find it very profitable. We are in the 10th chapter of Zechariah. We will begin today with verse 2 and take it up where we left off last time. Call a friend, tell them to listen in, and bring your Bibles and open up. This is a great blessing. I think you will love it. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. We need your prayers. Please pray for Dialogue. Pray that God will give me the boldness to speak truthfully. Pray that when I open my mouth, the truth will be told, and I will not stumble any or will not lead any astray. Pray that the enemy will be bound and broken and not be able to interfere with this ministry. Pray that the word will go out with power and lives will be changed and people will be saved. There are a lot of things to pray about. Pray for this country, because right now we have the freedom to speak and to teach and to preach, and who knows how long this will be able to do this. For those of you who say, well, I mean, it is America after all. Yeah, it's America, okay. Take a look and look at what's happening. Look at the ACLU and groups like that who would love nothing more than to shut this broadcast down. And many in our own government don't like what we're doing here at all. You pray for us. We need your prayers. And we would love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, for those of you who don't like to write, but kind of like to get on that computer and type in email messages, that's fine. I've got no problem with that. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to look at our webpage, we've got one of those, too. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. dialogueministries.org. And finally, if you would like to talk to me, I'll be glad to talk to you. Our telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. I believe that is all. Our preliminaries are over. Let's look at the Word of God. Now, we live, in case you haven't figured it out, in a troubled world. Yeah. We live in a world in which there is confusion on every side. We live in a world in which people foolishly and stupidly, I might add, believe that the real answer to our problems is political. It's just a matter of getting the right guys in office. Let me tell you something. You go down that road if you want to, but as you're going down that road, don't look around for me, because I will not walk it with you. Politics are not going to solve our problems. And if you think that they will, or it will, I think politics actually is one of the strange words that's ends in an S but is actually singular, but it doesn't matter. But if you think politics will solve our problems, I urge you to just take a look at Washington, D.C., and look at what's going on there. Has it ever occurred to you that these guys simply don't seem to know what they're talking about? Every time you turn around, someone is predicting something. If we'll just do this, then the results will be this. All we need to do is spend a couple of $1 trillion here, then we will create heaven on earth. Well, does it happen? Of course not. All of the predictions, all we need to do is, get involved in a war over here, or get out of a war over there, or do this, or do that. All we need to do is give people a bunch of money, or take a bunch of money away from them, and the results will be. And the funny thing about it is, although I don't mean funny ha-ha, I mean funny strange, the funny thing is, it never seems to work. These guys cannot predict the future. And yet we keep going back, don't we? Hope springs eternal in the human breast. I said at the first of the broadcast, you looking for a fortune teller? Well, stick around. Don't worry too much about it. People have been looking for fortune tellers and two fortune tellers and soothsayers throughout history. There has never been a time when someone hasn't stepped forward and said in so many words, I can tell you what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. Now, God's people, whether we're talking New Testament or Old Testament, are strictly forbidden to listen to fortune tellers or soothsayers. Friends, whoever you are, you don't need to know the future, and neither do I. What I need to know is, now I can know some things about the future, the things that are given to me in this book. There are prophecies in this book that have never yet been fulfilled, but they will be, and they will be fulfilled to the letter, and they will be fulfilled literally. Beyond that, I don't need to know the future. I think Billy Graham used to say, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. That's what I need to know. Have I committed myself to the one who holds the future? If I have believed the gospel, that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again, if I have cast myself upon Him as my Savior and Lord and received Him as Savior and Lord, I don't need to know the future. All I need to know is that He will bring everything to pass in His good time, and I will be blessed, and He will see to it. And yet, just think about it. What if you had someone who could really tell the future? What would you ask them? Well, let's see. How will AT&T fluctuate on the market tomorrow? What will the price of gold or silver be next year or next month? Which horse will win, at Santa Anita or Hialeah or the Belmont? There are any number of things. Who's going to win, the Super Bowl? Who's going to win the World Series? What's going to happen in the Middle East? Where should I invest my... There are all these things, Who am I going to marry? What am I going to... What job should I take? And so on and so forth. There are all kinds of things off in the future that probably, if you knew someone who could tell the future, you would ask them and would love to know. Well, people have been doing this forever. And last week we saw in verse 2 that one of the problems in Israel, verse 2 of chapter 10 of Zechariah, one of the problems in Israel was that they were believing in idols and praying to idols, and that there were diviners that were telling them about the future, and they were in trouble. Does that surprise you at all? I said last time, and here we go again, this word diviners in verse 2 of chapter 10 is a word that suggests opening up an animal, usually a sheep or a goat, and reading its insides, usually its liver. Now, if you say, well, that's stupid. Well, yeah. And how stupid is it for you, any of you, to read tarot cards or read your horoscope or go to this fortune teller or that one or to listen to people about what the future holds when it is patently obvious that they don't know what the future holds? Now, you know, you might as well read a sheep's liver. And if you think it's stupid to read sheep's liver, well, ask yourself, what are you doing? Don't do it. Idols, I don't care who they are. There is one God, Yahweh Elohim, revealed in this Bible, and any other God other than that is an idol. I don't care whose God it is. I don't care if it's Ahura Mazda or the Buddha. And you've heard me say it on here before. Those of you who tell you that Allah and Yahweh Elohim are the same God are lying to you. They are not the same God. If they were the same God, then they would not be confused about the death of Jesus and who and what Jesus is and was. They wouldn't be confused about that. Now, you can figure this out for yourselves or not. But if you insist on going down this road, then you can follow idols and they will land you in the ditch. They have spoken vanity is the word here. The diviners have seen a lie. They have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Now, a shepherd is one who leads in a plain path, who takes care of the flock, who knows where the dangers are, who knows how that the flock is to be dealt with and fed. And, of course, the shepherd, the real shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, is our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he? John 10, go back and read the 10th chapter of John. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We know from Psalm 23, don't we? The Lord Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. There are, of course, under-shepherds in the assemblies today who guide and take care of the sheep, and they are called pastors, and they are called elders, overseers. But the real shepherd is Yahweh Elohim, our Lord Jesus Christ. And here is when you look at this, the way this second verse ends, there was no shepherd. Well, no, not where they were looking for one. They were being led astray, and consistently in all of their history, almost from the very first, from the time they entered Canaan into the time that they were expelled, first at the Babylonian captivity, and Zechariah knew a lot about that, and secondly, the remnant expelled from there in 70 AD by Titus and the Romans, one of their problems was that they had false shepherds. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, and remember what he said to Israel at that time? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets, stoning those who are sent to you. How often would I have gathered you together as a hen does her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. And Israel as a people collectively still will not, and they are still listening to false shepherds and false prophets, and they are still in trouble. And of course, the Gentile world is going right along with them here. Let's look in verse 3 here. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts has visited his flock, the house of Israel, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Now, you will notice the word here is Israel, and sometimes, or the word is house of Judah. And many times I will talk about the Jews as if the Jews in Israel were all the same. Well, they are kind of the same, but not always. This is particularly the house of Judah that is being addressed here. And it is the Jews that are being addressed. Now, the Jews, of course, are the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, with a sprinkling of Levi. And Israel is the 10 northern tribes, and you have to have them all together before you really have Israel. And that has not happened since the rebellion under Solomon's son, Rehoboam, way back there, right after King David died, or King Solomon died, rather. And it is going to happen, though. God is going to bring Israel back and Judah back, and they will be reunified. But right now, we're looking at the house of Judah here. And we have got in verse 4, look at this one. Out of him. Out of who? Out of the house of Judah. Messiah is a Jew. Right out of the house of Judah, right out of the line of David. There can be no Messiah from any other source. For those of you who are over, let's say, in South Korea, and you think the Reverend Moon was the Messiah, I've got news for you. There are no non-Jewish Messiahs. You've been deceived. Figure it out. For those of you, and there, you know, every time you turn around, someone's presenting himself as Messiah, the Christ. There is no Messiah that is not a Jew. Well, you say, if you're a Jew, well, what about, you know, I mean, we've got Rabbi so-and-so over here and such, and hasn't been too long ago one of these rabbis died that so many of the people thought maybe it may have been the Messiah. Wrong. Kima Sabi. Messiah, there are certain things Messiah must do. And one of the things is bring Israel back to the land. Unify Israel and Judah. Bring in the Messianic kingdom. Fight and bring victory to Israel. One of the things Messiah has to do, in him shall the Gentiles trust, said Isaiah. Messiah has got to save the Gentile nations. Bring them to salvation. Now, I don't know who you are out there, who may be listening to me, but if Jesus of Nazareth is not the Christ, the Son of the living God, who's your candidate? He's the only one that can begin to make any claim to have done any of this, and he's not through yet because he's coming back, and he will fulfill every word here. Look at this fourth verse. Out of him came forth the corner. Out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. And I, let's just read on here, will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. Now, there you have this two southern tribes and the 10 northern tribes. The house of Joseph, also identified as Ephraim, these are the 10 northern tribes. And I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God and will hear them. Now, for those of you out there who are identifying Israel as the church, I'll pray for you. You're in a world of confusion. And you are rejecting the clear, obvious language of the Lord God right here. This word is to Israel. It is to Judah and it is to Joseph. Now, some people say that the nation of Israel as it exists today in the Middle East is not really the nation of Israel, that, you know, I've talked about this before on here. My answer is, I don't know. I don't know. It may be that this nation that exists over there right now is going to be kicked out of there and that God will bring them all back again. I don't know exactly but I can tell you this. those Jews that are over there hanging on with their fingernails to that land, I can tell you this about them, whether or not they'll stay there, they are Jews and they are the people of God and they are the very people that are being addressed here. And our business as Christians in particular is to support them and sustain them and to stick up for them and to not have any part in anyone or in any plan or program that would in any way demean or defile or attack the nation of Israel. If you're in a church that's doing that, and there are churches out there that are, they're supporting the Palestinians have no right to that land. It belongs to Israel. And if you're in a church that's doing this, I'd suggest you get out of there real quick. But you do what you want to do, and I'll see you at the judgment seat, and we'll stand there together, and we'll see who was right about this one. Look back again at this that we have read. Marvelous passage here. We find here, clear back in that fourth verse, the corner came out of Judah. Now, this is the cornerstone that Peter talks about. And this is that rejected stone that is head of the corner, the one on whom the whole house stands. He is called, you will look here again, the nail. And a nail, what do you have here? You have something, once again, that holds things together or that you hang things on. Once again, a clear reference to Messiah. And he is called here the bow, the battle bow. He is the warrior king. And, of course, a lot of the Jews, this is one of their problems they have with the Lord Jesus Christ. They say, well, he didn't do what he was said to do. He came meek and lowly. He never fought a war. He didn't deliver us from anyone. And he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Oh, friend, keep watching. You haven't seen anything yet. You have not seen our Lord Jesus Christ as the warrior king until he takes up the bow and fights for Israel, because he is coming back, then he will do all of the things that are promised here and are said of him. He is the one who will tread down the oppressors, and he is the one, and look at this, I love this promise in verse 6, I will bring them again to place them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. Here is a promise, and it will come to pass, and you can count on it. The Lord God never broke any of his promises. Every promise in our Lord Jesus Christ is yea and amen. And, you know, if you want to come to me and say, well, the Jews, they rejected Jesus, and they're still rejecting him. So, we're talking grace here, friends. We're talking the God who in grace took them up and in grace is going to bring these promises to pass. And we'll see some verses a little later on in Zechariah here that talk very pointedly about what the Jewish people are going to do with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just quote you one of them. They shall look on him whom they have pierced and shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. I'm telling you, that's what is coming, and it is certainly going to be brought to pass. Now, those of you who are listening, have you ever looked on this pierced one? Have you ever received him as your Savior? Why don't you do that right now? This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.